The lesson for the day is found in Acts, and we're going to continue our study of courage for Jesus. And today we're going to look at two guys that are very popular in the early scriptures and the early formation of the church, John and Peter. And we're going to see that they preached with boldness. Peter and John preached with boldness. And the takeaway from today's lesson, David's team, is that we all need to be bold in our presentation and our proclamation of the gospel. And the gospel is simply truth through personality. God uses your personality to preach the gospel. He uses my personality to teach and proclaim the gospel. He uses Paulette Lovelace's personality, Minister Brown's personality. It's simply God's truth through personality, and it needs to be done with boldness. And today we're going to look at two characters in the early church, its early development. The church is on fire. As a matter of fact, one of these boys preached a sermon, Minister Brown, and 5,000 people got saved. I'm talking about that's some preaching. But you know, some of the greatest sermons that are preached are not preached in room full places or where there's a great population. Some of the greatest sermons preached and taught are in private and in small groups. And such is the case with these two guys today. God has not saved any of us to be long rangers or secret agents. He's called us to be powerful and courageous in the telling of the gospel, in the sharing of the gospel. And so we're going to see examples of that in these two guys today. Let's see what we can get out of the lesson. And then we're going to church with you if you will stand boldly and proclaim what thus says the Lord. Great example. Okay, Acts chapter 4, verse 6 through 21. I'm asking you to take out your Bibles too, and we're going to get started. Peter and John preach with boldness. Acts chapter 4, verses 6 through 21. As I alluded to earlier in the prelude to my presentation this morning, the church is growing. It's growing rapidly. The apostles are doing their thing. And today we look at two of them as they just stepped out of chapter 3 of Acts, where they healed a man. And these guys spoke with great power and purpose, boldness. And as a matter of fact, let me take a survey. I wasn't going to do it, but I'm going to take a survey. I'm going to hit it hard this morning, and then I'll quit. I guarantee you, I'll get you guys there in time to go to church today. But I want to survey, sister. How many of you, and you can just raise your hand, consider yourself shy people? Okay. I'm shy. Okay. You know what? I don't think I had one hand raised. Not even one hand.
Two hands.
I didn't have one hand raised.
Two hands.
Okay. Oh, no. I see Maurice Hayes. Patricia Jefferson says she's shy. And God bless you says he or she is shy. Okay. Whoever God bless you is. God bless you. Unmike.
Hello.
Hi. And your name?
It's Kimberly Smith.
Who?
Kimberly Smith.
Oh, Kim. Okay. All right. Kim. Sha. Name God bless you. I can assure you that Kim Smith is not shy. She has been an evangelism teacher for some years. And when she's with her mother, that's that Sister C. Smith, that she's the daughter of that Deacon Fred Smith. There ain't nothing shy about her. I've seen her from the fellowship hall to the maturity halls at Resurrection. And Maurice Hayes, we just laugh. Put your hand down. You can just put your hand down. Patricia Jefferson, you travel too much like your daddy to think that that you are shy. You may think, and that's right, go on and cry about it, Maurice. You may think you're shy, but God has not called you to be shy when it comes to his word. And I noticed that Dolores Ogletree did not raise her hand because she knows that I know better. And, God knows better. And the thing about it, many of us will call ourselves shy. But when it comes to the things that we love and are dear to us, there's nothing shy about us. I could ask those same folk that raised their hand to include Mike Johnson on a particular subject or an area or company, we go under that shy label. But you can meet a perfect stranger. And Joe, someone will ask you, hi, are you a family man? Are you a family woman? Yes. You have kids, grandkids? Oh, yes. Oh, my child, my grandchild, they'll go on and on and on. They won't stop. You know why? They're very familiar with the subjects. The issue with proclaiming the gospel, sharing the gospel, a lot of us try to shy away from it, but you can't. You've been equipped. You are being equipped. You're being taught every day to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is here to tell us this morning, to show us through John and Peter, you don't ever have to be shy. If you want to show courage for Christ, be bold in your presentation of your conviction.
Deacon Snead.
Yes.
I was intending to tell him earlier that as of yesterday, because of evangelist class in 2018 that I graduated, I have witnessed to 99 people over the phone.
99. Folk otherwise that she may not have called.
I did
not. Folk otherwise where she may have been intimidated in calling. But God has not called us to not be bold.
Amen.
The early church was being persecuted, folk. You got to understand. You guys sit in your nice cushioned pews. Some of you that go and the others sit in the big comfort of your chairs. And some of you even recline in your bedrooms. As you worship and as you attend family church school, very comfortable. And you don't feel any persecution. But there's safety in our homes. But when you're out there and you start sharing and you start demonstrating the power of God, people will have something to say about that. Let me show you. I'm going to tell you. Didn't I just tell you that they had just performed miracles? They'd healed a man in chapter 3. In verse 6, here's what happens. Verse 6 and 7. And Annas and the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Folk, you'll get in trouble when you start proclaiming the word of God. And when you start proclaiming it boldly, people don't like that. When people start seeing the power of God demonstrated through your life, through your presentation, you'll get in trouble. These religious folk called into question these disciples, these apostles of the early church, Sister Ethel, and they interrogated them. Fred, they asked them, by what power do you that? In other words, what's your authority for saying what you say and doing what you do? Oh, that's a question that a lot of us will get in trouble. See, because some folk are willing to share their faith, but they won't tell you by what authority they share that faith. Steve, I know what I'm talking about. You know why? Because they'll get in trouble. And they'll get in trouble just as we're about to see that these boys got in trouble because it's not so much what they were saying. It's by how they answered this question when they were interrogated. You will get in trouble anytime you do anything in carrying the gospel of Christ, because we live in a time now. You think just because you're not being persecuted and just because you're not in hiding, there are people, you can't say certain things around. Because when you say certain things, what thus says the Lord, let me tell you what will happen to you. People will call you a bigot. People will call you gender insensitive. People will call you unwoke. People will call you a whole bunch of stuff. Oh, y'all can go on and smile because y'all know what I'm talking about. As a matter of fact, a few years ago, the big thing out there at Randolph Air Force Base, that whenever you pray, chaplain or otherwise, you did not pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, we'll see why. See, that's a bold expression. That's sharing by what authority you declare this gospel. But here in the lesson today, we're going to find out that we need to share with boldness. Help me out a little bit, Curtis Ford, if you would, unmute. And I want you to read verse just 8, right quick. Curtis Ford.
Hey,
that's
chapter 22, verse 8.
No. Chapter 4, verse 8.
Oh, my goodness.
Or did I hear you wrong?
I said 22, verse 8 of chapter 4. Okay, hold on a second.
Chapter 4, verse 8. And by the way, this is Family Church School. I know y'all in revival. I know y'all in revival up there in Grapevine. But in Family Church School of Resurrection, we're in chapter 4. Is that right,
Joe? I apologize.
All right. That's all right. Go with verse 8 for me, right quick.
Yes, sir. I'm right here. Okay. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel.
What? Verse 9.
If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Keep going.
That's interesting. Because Peter, notice the first thing that happened. Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't ever think that you can answer the world with your a human intellect alone. Maurice, you must be filled with the Holy Ghost. You will be filled. Those who have accepted Jesus Christ are indwelt by the Holy Ghost. And whenever you speak, you need to call upon the Holy Ghost and have him fill you, because that's what your power source. Peter is able to speak and to address these folk, this august body of liberal theologians and religious folk, Pharisees and Sadducees, the high priest, the ex-high priest. He's able to deal with them because he's filled with the Holy Ghost. And he gives them an answer. Because he's filled with the Holy Ghost, his power. He said, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to a man who was powerless, by what means is he made whole? Verse 10, Brother Ford.
Verse 10, Acts 4, verse 10. be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole.
What you've heard from me, what you've seen demonstrated, is done by the power of Jesus Christ. It's done by the authority of Jesus Christ. When you are sharing the gospel, you shouldn't try to share it on your own skills, your own intellect. Jesus told you, even in the Great Commission, he says, lo, I'm with you. I got your back. In other words, Jesus is not looking for our ability. He's looking for our availability. And if we make ourselves available to him, he'll be our power source. He'll speak when you don't have a word to say, when you can't even think of anything. Jesus the Christ is there. And what Peter does with purpose and power is give the gospel to these religious interrogators in the form of the high priest, Caiaphas and Annas and Alexander and all them boys, all his relatives. He's telling them, it is by the power of Jesus Christ, the one that you guys crucified and that God raised from the dead. It is by this man that you killed on the cross and by this man who is resurrected from the dead that we're able to speak the way that we do. Ah, that's some kind of boldness. See, how many of us shy away when folk ask you, what do you believe about Jesus? With boldness and invoking the Holy Spirit, you can say, I believe he is the Son of God. I believe that he lived. I believe that he died. I believe that he was resurrected again from the grave and that he resides at the right hand of God the Father right now. I believe that Jesus is my all in all. I believe that Jesus is my buckler. He's my shield. He's my lifter of my. I believe that Jesus is everything I want him to be and more. I believe that Jesus is not only superior and supreme, he is superlative in every way. So you can do that with boldness when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you let people know by what you speak is by the authority of Jesus Christ himself, Calvary's hero. But now, Maurice Hayes. I'd like for you to read verse 12 because in 102, I don't see one of my 102 instructors on right now, but in 102, this is one of their key verses. 102 is the evangelism class, Sister Paulette. Tell them, Sister Paulette. Just raise your hand. Tell them. That's the evangelism class. I learned that scripture in evangelism. This scripture right here, verse 12, chapter 4. Maurice?
Verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
I tell you what, you go running up in certain circles talking about the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ and that there's no other way that you can be saved is by Jesus Christ. You go running up in certain circles. You better be filled with the Holy Ghost. You better have the power and the presence of Jesus Christ with you if you're going to go. But here these men stood and they said, you know, there is no other name by which men can be saved. And it is by that name, it's by that authority that we speak. It's the same way that Paul said the same thing over in Corinthians, I think it's 2:2. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Mo, what that does, it establishes what you are and who you are in Christ. That when you can say there is no other way, no, there are not many roads to God. Jesus himself said, the one who was raised from the dead, here's what he says. No man cometh to the Father except by me. And so you can declare it as a disciple of Christ. You can declare it just as Peter is declaring it here. He had already declared the gospel that Jesus was crucified, that he was dead, and it was raised from the dead. And that gospel can be taught. It can be declared anywhere you are. Y'all heard Mo. There is no other name by which a man can be saved but by the name of Jesus. Mo, verse 13.
Verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus.
Since you're the official attendance keeper today, Steve, I want you to note verse 13. Just put it in your mind, okay? Because I'll revisit that one. But verse 13 there, because it says, when they saw, when they understood, y'all didn't get it. When they saw, when they understood that these were a bunch of ignorant common folk. In other words, see, most folk think that if you're not a PhD, you shouldn't be talking heavy stuff. But these folk perceive, these men are just common. But that's the power of God. God takes the ordinary and makes it extraordinary. God takes the very simple people. That's why he didn't call all PhDs to declare his word. That's why he didn't call all people with bachelor's and master's. He didn't call all sophisticated high society folk, learned folk, Wall Street folk. He called all kinds of folk, because it's not about what man has taught you in school. It's about how you've been schooled in the word of God and whom you've been schooled by. Notice that verse 13 there. I told Steve kind of, I saw him, 13. I'll be back and visit it, because I want to give y'all, I'll wrap it up in a, after I've given you these ham and eggs, I'll give you a little dessert today, okay? Verse 14, Mo, if you would, so we can get to the dessert. I see Davis is ready to get to the dessert. She don't want no vegetables today. She just wants dessert. All right. Verse 14.
And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it.
Now, here's the thing. Your eyes don't fool you. They saw the man that was lame, could not walk, had no power, a man that was impotent. They saw him impotent, powerless, Sister Ogletree, but now they see him standing. They saw him in chapter 3 laying down, couldn't get up, being carried by his friend, Steve. But in chapter 4, they see him. They can't deny it. See, the presence and the power of Jesus can't be denied. It really can't be denied. Because look, what they're talking about, they're looking at. They're looking at the power and the presence of Jesus. And they can't deny that. That's why you can speak with boldness. Because the power of Jesus cannot be denied. And when we're talking about boldness here, we're not talking about with arrogance. We're talking about with confidence. Man. Courage. Completeness. You know, it's the same way as I listen to the dialogue before class. You know, there are certain folk who exude a certain confidence. You know, they got this thing. They've been around family church school for a while, and they know, you know, Sister O, you know, y'all don't realize Sister O is one of the champions when we meet in person, you know, on the membership side. Her job is to encourage folk and fellowship, Find out about them, Sister Ethel. You heard about Sister Ethel is always sending cards, always encouraging folks. That's the kind of thing. They do it with courage and confidence because they've been schooled in it. And so the evidence comes out. And when you see it, it can't be denied. You say, oh, she's encouraged. Oh, yeah, she's always concerned about other folks. So, Steve, these hardcore people who are against these guys preaching and teaching, they can't deny the results of that preaching and teaching and the signs and the wonders and the miracles that have been performed. They can't deny it. Verse 15,
but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves.
What did they say, Mo?
Saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it.
did y'all just hear me? Didn't I just tell y'all that? did y'all act like I didn't read the Sunday school lesson? They themselves, now they testify. They huddle. They said, what are we going to do with these guys? The stuff they're talking about, we looking at. We can't deny this. What is it that we need to do with these two guys? They got to be stopped. See, the world is going to want to stop you. But here, the encouraging thing today that we can take away from this lesson, Sister Ethel, is that the world can't stop you. I don't care how smart the world think they are. I don't think if they got, you know what? If the world would just take care of the world's business and not worry about the things of God, not trying to run God's business, they'd be a lot better off. Because everything that man touches, everything that we're supposed to be good at, superior at, Steve, we find ourselves miserable failures. And you know why? We don't trust God. Nobody consulted God about what to do in the world situations today. Whether it be pandemic, whether it be war, or it be the stopping of war, the transitioning of war, we don't consult God. But if they did, they could declare like these men. We've talked to the Father. We know Jesus. We spent some time with him. We know that if you do this and what thus says the Lord, the outcome will be a lot better. But no, they look at it, they see the miracles that are happening in the life of the church, and they're trying to say, how in the world is that resurrection keep going on? How are they making it through the pandemic? Because the gospel is being preached and taught boldly. We don't bite our tongues about this world and its shortcomings. But when you do, you'll get in trouble. No, like Pastor Brown gets the letters, and occasionally I get the notes or the email. But the issue is, John Lewis put it best, Steve, get in good trouble.
All right.
And the best trouble you can ever get in is to declare the word of God with boldness. Don't be shy about it. Verse 17 says, 17 and 18.
But that it spread no further among the people. Let us straightly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name.
If we just threaten them, Mo, they'll stop.
Yeah.
If I threaten you, you'll stop. If I threaten you, you'll stop. But the word of God is clear. No weapon formed against you, no threat formed against you shall prosper.
All right.
If you are in the will of God, Mo, 18.
And they call them. And commanded not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus.
Look here, y'all can have y'all little Bible studies, but just don't do it in the name of Jesus. y'all can pray at our retirement ceremonies. Y'all can pray at our promotion ceremonies. Just all don't right. use the name of Jesus. See, and are you going to compromise? If you're going to be bold in the presentation of the gospel, you can't compromise. Folk, you can't compromise. Because they got you right where they want you if you'll compromise. Verse 19 and 20, Mo.
But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge. Verse 20, for we cannot but.
Hey, Mo, just yes, speak sir. It one more time. Read verse 20 one more time, because you cut out on them. And I don't but want Peter nobody and John, to miss it.
Again?
Verse 20.
But speak and
Mo is having a problem with his audio, so I'll read it again for you. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You cannot. You know what? God has done some amazing things for you, George Stallings. Fred?
Yeah.
Brother and Sister Taylor? Sister Dorothy Taylor? God has done some great things for you. You've seen God work. Minister Brown, you've heard the voice, the very voice of God. And he showed you great and marvelous things. You can't help but speak what you heard and seen. And you got to do that boldly. Because in doing it boldly, you're showing courage for Jesus. He said, don't speak it. But if you just don't invoke that name of Jesus, and their response was, we can't do that. We can't do it. We can't do it because we know that it is life-giving and life-sustaining. The word of God is life-giving and life-sustaining. That's what they're saying. They're saying, we will not withhold that from these folk. The word of God is the vaccination against sin, folk. Woo, somebody better help me.
All right.
Jesus is behind the vaccination. He's the authority. He's the CDC. But he's the Savior. He's both the authority and the medicine. Verse 21 says, what? Mo?
You can hear me.
Yes.
So further threat, let them go. Nothing how they might punish them because of the people. Glorify God, done.
It says, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go. They threatened them one more time, but they let them go. Trying to figure out how they might punish them because of the people. They let them go. Because the people, 5,000 folk, had joined the church. See, the church got power. You're not by yourself. You're never alone. And if there was only one person in the church, you're never alone.
Amen.
Jesus says, lo, I am with you. You've heard Peter and John. You've heard the accusations. You've heard their response to the accusation. And you've heard them be threatened, and you've heard them in their reaction to the threat. These men spoke boldly. They showed courage.
Man.
But has anyone wondered this morning how? Remember, Steve, I told you to keep. What verse did I tell you to keep in mind, Brother Steve? What verse was it?
13.
Oh, he remembered. He remembered, Davis. He remembered. It's verse 13. If you read verse 13, it says, what does it say, Steve? Verse 13.
Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John
and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus.
What is the last four or five words you said there in that scripture, Steve?
That they had been with Jesus.
Amen.
That they were what? With Jesus. That they were what? With Jesus.
With Jesus.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to speak boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ, Minister Brown, you got to spend some time with Jesus. In other words, you got to have company with Jesus. Steve, you have your Bible open? Because I'll give you one more. You want to know? You want to know? See, this is how you know. This is how you can speak boldly. This is how you can be bold. Steve gave you one. He gave you verse 13. But guess what? In verse 24, can you see it? Does anybody see it? Curtis Ford, do you see it? Are you still there?
Oh, yes, sir.
In verse 24, what does it say?
And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is.
Now, verse 13 says they kept company with Jesus, but they had confidence in God. y'all don't get it. I'm giving you dessert, Sister Davis. I'm giving you the dessert here. This is how you can do it. In other words, keep company with Jesus, but your confidence will come from God. Company with Jesus, confidence from God. Verse 29 through 31, Curtis, stay there. Just read all three of them and y'all can go to church.
Acts 4, 29 through 31. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness.
But they were encouraged. They were compelled by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit got your back. You can speak truth. You can speak truth to power. You can speak truth to a dying world. But that truth must be that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the same one who came, lived, died, and was resurrected, and now sits as an intercessor on your behalf, and at the same time came down and indwells each of us with power. Knowing this, you can speak boldly, just as Peter and John did, winning souls for Christ. And truly, if we speak with boldness, it is only with boldness that we're going to be able to fulfill the mission and the commission and the vision of the Resurrection Church. And that is that we are followers of Christ, sharing the love of Christ to all the world. We do that not with meekness, but with boldness, because we have courage for Jesus. I'll see y'all in church. I'll see you next week. Come back next week. We're going to do our last unit, Encourage, and we're going to be listening to the writer of the majority of the New Testament, that brother Paul. Will have his testimony as he had courage for Jesus. God bless you. God keep you.